You're listening to Simply Grace, a collection of meaningful thoughts, ideas, and interpretations of the gospel we hope you will find inspiring and thought-provoking. Delivered from the foothills of the beautiful San Gabriel Mountains, Grace Lutheran Church in Upland, California, has been serving the community of faithful for more than 50 years and is headed by the Reverend Wesley Mankey. For more information, or if you would like to make a donation, please visit graceupland.org. And don't forget to subscribe to our podcast, Simply Grace.
The Holy Gospel according to St. Luke, chapter 2. When the time came for their purification according to the law of Moses, they brought him up to Jerusalem to present him to the Lord. As it is written in the law of the Lord, every firstborn male shall be designated as holy to the Lord. And they offered a sacrifice according to what is stated in the law of the Lord, a pair of turtle doves or two young pigeons. Now there was a man in Jerusalem whose name was Simeon. This man was righteous and devout, looking forward to the consolation of Israel, and the Holy Spirit rested on him. It had been revealed to him by the Holy Spirit that he would not see death before he had seen the Lord's Messiah. Guided by the Spirit, Simeon came into the temple, and when the parents brought in the child Jesus to do for him what was customary under the law, Simeon took him in his arms and praised God, saying, "Master, now you are dismissing your servant in peace, according to your word. For my eyes have seen your salvation, which you have prepared in the presence of all peoples, a light for revelation to the Gentiles and for glory to your people Israel." And the child's father and mother were amazed at what was being said about him. Then Simeon blessed them and said to his mother Mary, "This child is destined for the falling and the rising of many in Israel, and to be a sign that will be opposed, so that the inner thoughts of many will be revealed, and a sword will pierce your own soul too." There was also a prophet, Anna, the daughter of Phanuel, of the tribe of Asher. She was of a great age, having lived with her husband 7 years after her marriage, then as a widow, to the age of 84. She never left the temple but worshipped there with fasting and prayer night and day. At that moment she came. She began to praise God and to speak about the child to all who were looking for the redemption of Jerusalem. When they had finished everything required by the law of the Lord, they returned to Galilee, to their own town of Nazareth. The child grew and became strong, filled with wisdom, and the favor of God was upon him. The Gospel of the Lord. Praise to you, O Christ.
Let us pray. Holy God, we come before you enjoying this festive time, but also recognizing that the world is not perfect, far from it. Dear Jesus, we ask that you do come into the world and help us, save us, teach all of your children how to follow you and live in your ways of peace. Lord, give us strength to share you with a world that needs you. In your name we pray, amen. So I woke up Christmas morning and one of my kids, one of the littlest ones, said, "Dad, are you going to help me with my bad guy Legos?" Bad guy Legos. I wonder what that was about. I went, "Yeah, sure, but first Daddy needs a cup of coffee." And so that was the first order of the day, coffee for Sherry and I. And then as soon as the coffee was done, the child came back and said, "Dad, are you going to help me with my bad guy Legos?" And I was like, "Yeah, I'm going to help you." But, you know, now breakfast was happening and there was dishes and it was a busy morning. Excuse me, this was not Christmas. This was yesterday. This was the day after Christmas. And the toys had already been worked on, but apparently these bad guy Legos hadn't. And so the child kept asking me and asking me until finally, yes, we sat down. I said, go get me the bad guy Legos, whatever those are. And then I saw what he was talking about. He had gotten a Lego set, and Lego sets, you know, they come with bags, bag one, bag two, bag three. And the first bag that he had done on Christmas was a police car and the police officer, and he had put that all together. And then the other part of the Lego set was the bad guy. It was a getaway car that had a little safe in it with money and gold. And then, of course, there was the bad guy himself. And he looked really mean on his Lego face. He looked like a shady, mean person. And for a weapon, he carried a crowbar. That, you know, cat burglar, I guess, thing that you are able to steal with. I don't know. So we put together the rest of the Lego. And that was fine. That was fine to be doing that. But, of course, the part that really kind of got me thinking was the news. The news is terrible, terrible bombing that had happened in Tennessee. Just an unthinkable thing to do on Christmas. And it is that painful reminder that there are people in our world that do very bad things, very bad things. And of course, it's easy, maybe easy as a child. You look at that and you just say, those are the bad guys. But there's also truth to that. There are people in our world that do these really bad things. And the part, though, that really troubles me as a pastor and a human being is the extent to which any of us can fall vulnerable to the power of sin and evil. Human frailty is very real. And the fact that each of us, as mere mortals, can make really bad choices is sobering. But of course, we have hope. We have hope that God helps us. God helps us to be better people. The Holy Spirit moves in our hearts and helps a human being to grow and to learn God's laws and how we are supposed to live, the Ten Commandments. And when we learn that and we are aware of our own failings, our own failure to follow those laws all the time, God sends Jesus to forgive our sins. 'Twas grace that taught my heart to fear, to make us aware of our brokenness, and grace my fears we relieved. And then finally, by God's grace and Holy Spirit, by God's help, God fashions us to be able to serve God in the world. In our reading this morning from Galatians, Paul talks about how the Spirit of God and Jesus allows us to follow God as we are called to do. Paul says that when we are young, we live under the law and we're subject to the law. And that's true, and we're talking about God's law here. We're subject to God's law our whole lives, and especially as children, it teaches us right from wrong, the Ten Commandments. But eventually, Paul says, the idea is, the hope is, like it says way back in the Old Testament, that eventually God's law becomes written on our hearts. And that through our faith in Jesus, our relationship to God, we just naturally want to do what's right. We're able to do that because of God's grace. Throughout time, theologians have talked about what is it exactly that saves us in Jesus with the cross and the crucifixion and the resurrection. How does that save us? And some theologians have coined the phrase moral influence theory. And moral influence theory is the belief that Jesus was the perfect moral example, and that when we come to know him and have faith in him and to receive him in our hearts, he really doesn't just save us from our mistakes, but he really teaches us how to live, how to be good people, to try our best to be God's people. It's called the moral influence theory. You think about the t-shirts and the bracelets back in the day that said WWJD, what would Jesus do? That's the moral influence theory, right? Jesus saves us, but he also teaches us how to live. What would Jesus do? And it really works. It works. Studies have shown over and over again that although we are not perfect, we make mistakes, when you practice your faith, when you know God, when you participate in church and you do those things, again, you're not perfect, but you tend to live your life more ethically. And you tend to want to do what's right, which makes our job so important to share Jesus with the whole world. Because when people know the love of God, the unconditional love of God, they want to live better. They want to do what's right. And so for us on this first Sunday after Christmas, that really boils down to evangelism. How do we evangelize? How do we take this great gift that we know in Jesus and share with all the world? And in our reading from Luke, we have an excellent example of what it means to do evangelism. There are, in this story of Jesus' presentation in the temple, a great example of how we can be evangelical in the best sense of what that word means. To be evangelical is to simply be a Christian that shares your faith. So here's how it happens. Mary and Joseph take Jesus to the temple, following God's law, because he's the firstborn, and everything that's firstborn is dedicated to God. So they do this. And while they're there, this person comes to them. He is moved by the Holy Spirit, and his name is Simeon. Simeon was waiting his whole life to see God's salvation. And now that Mary and Joseph are there doing the religious ritual, Simeon is moved. He's moved. He's led by the Spirit, and he goes. And when he sees Jesus, he is so overcome that he just reaches out and he grabs the baby from them. Can you imagine? It's a little socially awkward to have a stranger take your baby. But it was okay, because Simeon, in his own words, says, "My eyes have finally seen your salvation, God." Simeon had that personal experience with Jesus. He held Jesus and had a personal experience. That's one out of three very important components of being an evangelical Christian, is to have a personal relationship with Jesus. Now, if you're like me, I used to hear that, and it used to kind of make me sort of nervous, you know, like you hear some people talk about their relationship with Jesus, and they're on such intimate terms, you kind of think like, wow, is that me? But it's not meant to be off-putting in any way. It just means you have a connection to God. For many traditional Lutherans, a personal relationship with connection with Jesus comes through communion. And I know for many of our members, communion is so core to the faith. So when we went through that period of fasting during the pandemic, it was really hard, because for many people, that moment when you receive the host is that personal relationship. It is receiving God. That's one way. Other people have a mountaintop experience that they share. Other people, it's more soft and gentle. It just comes maybe through prayer or reading. It looks different for every person, and you're not supposed to measure up to what that looks like, but it just means it begins with our relationship with Christ. Christ comes to us in many different ways, like he came to Simeon. That's the first step of being an evangelical Lutheran Christian, a personal relationship with Jesus. The other one, of course, you could say would be baptism. So that's the first one, and there's three, right? And as I mentioned to the children, today's the third day of Christmas. So the three French hens, of course, could be the Trinity, but they could also be these three steps in what it means to be an evangelical Christian. The first is like Simeon having that personal connection to God, knowing Jesus personally. The second one is Anna. Anna, this prophetess. She was a lot like Simeon. She spent her days in the temple worshiping, praising, serving God. She'd been a widow for many years of her life. And when she experiences Jesus and she meets him like Simeon, the text says that she goes out and she tells anybody who will listen about this Jesus. It says in the Bible, at that moment she came and began to praise God and to speak about the child to all who were looking for the redemption of Israel. In other words, she would talk to anybody who would listen to her. I met Jesus. Let me tell you about him. And that's what it means to be an evangelical Lutheran. We tell people about our experience. And again, sometimes people get nervous. They think, I don't have all the right words. I don't know the Bible. I don't know my theology. All it requires is simply sharing with people your story. When you share with people your story of how you know God, you are doing evangelism. And that's what Anna did. The third thing of what it means for us to be evangelical Lutherans is the example of Mary and Joseph. They have Jesus, and at the beginning of our reading and at the end of the reading, it makes very clear that they wanted to raise the child right, and they wanted to follow the law of God. They went to the temple to do this because that's what was asked for them in the Old Testament, in the Hebrew Bible. And then after this amazing encounter that they have with Simeon and Anna, they go away. When they had finished, it says here, when they had finished everything required by the law of the Lord, they returned to Galilee, to their own town. The child grew up and became strong, filled with wisdom and favor. To be an evangelical means we at least try. We try to do what God expects of us. We try to be holy. We try to follow the commandments. And through our example, people see the joy in what it means to follow Jesus in your daily life. And so when you combine those three of just simply doing our best to be holy and follow God, to tell people about our experience with Jesus and God and the Holy Spirit, and to just be open to reflecting on what is our relationship with Jesus? How do we know him? Through communion, through prayer, through reading the Bible, through being with friends, through coming to church. Those are the basics of evangelism, of being evangelical Lutheran Christians. And when we do that, one by one, we reach people and we make a difference in people's lives and God's kingdom grows. God's Spirit is spread. And like we pray in the Lord's Prayer, thy kingdom come, and God helps us to share that word in the world. Amen.
We hope you enjoyed this weekly offering of Simply Grace. Make sure to subscribe to our podcast, and if you would like to help us in our effort to serve the community, please visit graceupland.org and click Give. Thank you for listening, and we hope you join us again.